던져 미하리. 나이아가 날마다가 건자비하리 높이 전에 올라가 이리 가는 아리 나의 덮이란 나가 이리 가다리 야서는 난난난난난난난난난 야사나 난나나 라자나나나나 야몽나티라나나 차리 야몽나티라나나 차리 야무나 기라만 자니 야무나 기라만 자니 야무나 기라만 자니 나티랑한 자네 가야란 남아대바 건자비하리 가야시키스나제선냐바보니천안다나시나데이다따라나시바사니고라복자맨다 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hari Nam Sankirtan yaki ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Let's just put this on. Okay. Phew. So many flowers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo. So today on this Bahulastami day, the appearance of Radhakund, we are reading about the slaying of Arista, the bull demon. And I'll start reading a few verses from 10th canto, chapter 36. Just a second. Yeah. Shri Badaraya Nirvacha Ahartaryagato Gostam Aristo Vrisabhasuraha Mahim Mahakakutkaya Kampayan Kuraviksatam. Sukadev Goswami said, the demon Arista then came to the cowherd village. Appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump, he made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hoofs. According to the Vishnu Purana, it is said that once, midway through the period of dusk, when Lord Janardhan was eager to perform the rasa dance, Aristasura madly entered the cowherd village, terrifying everyone. Ramba manaha kataram padacha vilikan mahim ujamya pucham vaprani visa nagriha chodaran kinchit kinich chakrin muchan mutrayan stabdalochanaha. Aristasura bellowed very harshly and pawed the ground. With his tail raised and his eyes glaring, he began to tear up the embankments with the tips of his horns, every now and then passing a little stool and urine. Yasyanira dite nanga nisture nagavam rinam patantyakalato garba sravanti sma bayena vai nivirsanti gana yasya kakudya chala sankaya tam tiksna sringam utbriksya gopya kupas chatatru saha. My dear king, clouds hovered about sharp-horned Aristasura's hump, mistaking it for a mountain. And when the coward men and ladies caught sight of the demon, they were struck with terror. Indeed, the strident reverberation of his roar so frightened the pregnant cows and women that they lost their fetuses in miscarriages. Pasavo duduvur bita rajansan chanjaya gokulam krishna krishneti te sarve govindam saranam yayo. The domestic animals fled the pasture in fear, O king, and all the inhabitants rushed to Lord Govinda for shelter, crying, Krishna, Krishna. Bhagavana pitat priksha gokulam bhaya vidrutam mabhaisiti griyas vasya vrissasuram upavayat. When the Supreme Lord saw the cowherd community distraught and fleeing in fear, he calmed them down, saying, Don't be afraid. Then he called out to the bull demon as follows, Gopalai pasubir manda trasitai kim asattama maya sastrari dustanam tadvidanam duratmanam. You fool, what do you think you are doing, you wicked rascal, frightening the cowherd community and their animals, when I'm here just to punish corrupt miscreants like you? Iti aspuv asfoyet chuto ristam talasabdema kopayan shakuram sebujabogam prasaryavastito hari. Having spoken these words, the infallible Lord Hari slapped his arms with his palms, further angering Arista with a loud sound. The Lord then casually threw his mighty serpentine arm over the shoulder of a friend and stood facing the demon. So pievam kopitorista kurinavani mullikam ujat pucha brahman mega kruda krishnam upadravat. Thus provoked, Arista pawed the ground with one of his hoofs and then, with the clouds hovering around his upraised tail, furiously charged Krishna. Agranyasta visanagra stabdaskriya luchanan chutam kataksi pradavaturnam indramukho shaniryata. Pointing the tips of his horns straight ahead and glaring menacingly at Lord Krishna from the corners of his bloodshot eyes, Arista rushed toward him at full speed like a thunderbolt hurled by Indra. Grihitva sringayustamba astada sapadani saha pratyapova habagavan gaja prati gajam yata. The Supreme Lord Krishna seized Aristasura by the horns and threw him back 18 steps, just as an elephant might do with a rival elephant. Sapavido bhagavata punarutaya satparam apatat svina sarvango niswasan krodha murchitaha. Thus repulsed by the Lord, the bull demon got up and, breathing hard and sweating all over his body, again charged him in a mindless rage. Tamapantam sanigriya sringayo padasamakramyani pachabuttale nispidayam asayatardram ambaram kritva visanena jagana supatat. As Arista attacked, Lord Krishna seized him by the horns and knocked him to the ground with his foot. The Lord then thrashed him as if he were a wet cloth, and finally he yanked out one of the demon's horns and struck him with it until he lay prostrate. Asrik vaman muta sakrit samut sirjan ksipams chapadan anavasti tiksanaha jagamakritsham nirite rataksayam puspai kiranto harim midire suraha. Vomiting blood and profusely excreting stool and urine, kicking his legs and rolling his eyes about, Aristasura thus went painfully to the abode of death. The demigods honored Lord Krishna by scattering flowers upon him. Evam kukutminam hatva stuyamana dvijatibi Vivesa gustam sabalo gopinam nayanutsavaha. Having thus killed the bull demon Arista, he used a festival for the gopis' eyes, entered the cowherd village with Balaram. Aristaniyate daiche krishnenat bhutakarmana kamsayata hatta bhagavan narado devadarsanaha. After Aristasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. One second. Okay, what did I do? Yeah. So now there's a very big purport in this, after all these verses, telling us the basic story of how Arista was killed. And in this purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also included a conversation which is between Krishna and the gopis, and there we find the direct description of the appearance of Radhakund. So I'm going to read that in a moment. But first I'll speak a little bit after so many verses. Cannot do another 15 verses, can we? So this demon was very powerful. He took the form of an enormous bull. All these demons in Krishna's past times, they, by their mystic powers, were able to take these forms of bulls and horses and so many others. Right. So Aristasura took this very huge form of a bull. The hump on his back was so high that it appeared to be a mountain. And the clouds, they mistook it for a mountain. So they start hovering around it like that. We see that Aristasura was very proud of his power. And he was very convinced that he would be able to kill the Supreme Lord. And he was very angry. We can see that the way that Krishna dealt with him by first, as he storms at him, he grabs him by the horn and throws him back just to sort of stun him in his pride about his great power. And now suddenly he's just thrown back. Then he comes again, and this time Krishna even yanks a horn out of his head, because these horns, they were the main weapons and a big source of pride. It's with these horns that I will kill you, Aristasura was thinking. And it's with these horns that Krishna killed Aristasura. Just because his consciousness was in the horns. So we can see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very, very personal. And in killing the demons, just has the personal touch. Aristasura was into his horns. All right, I'll give you a horn. Yes. In this way, we can appreciate how much Krishna is a person and makes personal arrangements for every living being, for their purification, for bestowing mercy on them. Yeyatamam prapadyanti tam sateva bhajami aham. And he rewards them according to their level of surrender. And in this case, as the demon was not so surrendered, he rewarded him accordingly by hitting him on the head with his own horn. So that was exciting. Well, what occurred after is also quite clear. And from the Puranas, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna has killed the demon Arista. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharya, describes the origin of Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, Radha's and Krishna's bathing ponds. The verses are as follows. Now, this time, although I love the Sanskrit, I'm going to skip it for the sake of time. What to do? Srila Prabhupada, of course, we know on an early Janmashtami, spent the whole night just reading Sanskrit verses because there was no translation of the relevant verses from 10th canto. And Prabhupada said, just by hearing these verses, you'll be purified. So I feel a little bit awkward not reading them, but you can't do everything in limited time. The innocent young gopi said, Ah Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull. Alas, even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow. So you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing Vritasura. But how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds? They wanted every single holy place. Very big offense. Krishna replied, why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will bring at once all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch. With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground. Then he said, this is the water of the Bhogavati River coming from the Patala region. And now, O holy places, all of you, please come here. When the Supreme Lord had spoken these words, all the holy places went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis as follows. See all the holy places, but the gopis replied, we don't see them as you describe. Then those best of holy places joined their palms in supplication, spoke up. I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am the Amara Dirkika. I am the river Sona. I am the Sindhu. I am the Tamrapani. I am the holy place of Pushkar. I am the river Sarasvati. And we are the Godavari, Yamuna and Rava rivers and the confluence of rivers at Prayag. Just see our waters. After purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, I've produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you gopis must have never executed any religious duties on earth for of Lord Brahma. Then Srimati Radharani addressed her girlfriends as follows. I must create an even more beautiful point. So go to work. Having heard these words, the gopis saw that Aristasura's hooves had dug a shallow ditch just west of Sri Krishna's pond. At that nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands, and in this way a divine pond manifested in the short span of an hour. Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced. So we can see how effortlessly Krishna was creating Shyama Kund, which is also known as Arista Kund, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes. And there, Krishna immediately invited all the holy places of the universe and took his bath, and it was done. Very quick and easily, because he has this Satya Sankalpa Shakti that whatever he desires becomes true. If he just wants it to be true, it's immediately done. So that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes he shows effort, but that is really his pastime, because there is no effort. And Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand, just to
to show that he used the weakest finger, right? But at the same time, he could have also done it without using any finger at all, if he so desired. But he desired to act out his human pastimes. So Krishna sometimes acts as a human being, and therefore Krishna sometimes is showing weakness, is showing struggle, is showing a great struggle in a fight with a demon, where the demigods are getting worried and are thinking, oh, this demon is going to win, please kill him soon, these kind of... But these are all Krishna's arrangements to increase the attachment of his devotees. So Krishna plays with the hearts of his devotees and tries to endlessly make arrangements to increase their love. The gopis, when they made a pond, it wasn't so easy. They had to dig out the whole thing with their hands. Elsewhere it says they even broke some of their bangles where the ground was too hard and were scraping. And in this way, somehow or other, with a lot of effort, they managed to dig out a kund, which was not simple. Krishna suggested that they could take water from his kund, but he said, no, you've taken your bath in that water now, so it's contaminated. No, sorry, it's not possible. We cannot accept that water. It's not pure anymore. No, we'll bring some water from Manisi Ganga by water pots. So Krishna is thinking, this is going to take forever. This is too much. So then Krishna said, no, please accept the water from my kund. They refused again. But then all the deities of the various holy places appeared before Radharani and prayed to her. And then, because she's a devotee, a devotee is by nature soft-hearted. Therefore, how can a devotee just refuse a request of a saintly person? That is not possible. All these saintly deities of these various holy places were now personally requesting, please accept our service. All right, what to do? So, so she accepted it. And then Radhakund was formed. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada also says something about Radhakund. Let me just quickly go there. Open. Just a second. Of the many objects of favorite delight and of all the lovable damsels of Rajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radhakund is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. Purport. Why is Radhakund so exalted? The lake is so exalted because it belongs to Srimati Radharani, who is the most beloved object of Sri Krishna. Among all the gopis, she is the most beloved. Similarly, her lake, Sri Radhakund, is also described by the great sages as the lake that is as dear to Krishna as Radha herself. Indeed, Krishna's love for Radhakund and Srimati Radharani is the same in all respects. Radhakund is very rarely attained, even by great personalities fully engaged in devotional service, not to speak of ordinary devotees who are only engaged in the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti. So, in the Govinda Lilamrita, it is described that when Krishna sees the pink lotus flowers in Radhakund, he sees the face of Srimati Radharani. He said when he sees the black bees buzzing around those lotus flowers, it's like her blackish hair. And when the bees are buzzing, it is like Srimati Radharani's angry sounds when she's upset with him. So it is described like that by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So the point is that the relationship with Radhakund is no different than the relationship with Srimati Radharani. It is fully representing Srimati Radharani. And it is the most exalted and most confidential pastime place of Radha and Krishna. And it's kind of ironic that Radhakund now has become the most public place. It's packed. You know, at the time of Krishna, this Radhakund is a place where no one goes. Krishnadas Kaviraj describes another Radhakund than what we see. We see Radhakund, and we also see that when the main deities of Vrindavan were transported to Rajasthan because of the Muslim invasion in India and because of Muslim persecution, at that time, the replicas were made of many of the main deities of Vrindavan, just so that, because they stopped, the deities stopped for a while. So we see at Radhakund so many temples, same temples as here, of the same deities of the Goswamis. But the Radhakund that is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj in his Govinda Lilamrita is totally different. That is a Radhakund said where in the middle there is a jeweled pastime palace and a bridge leading up to it. It said that then there are so many gardens and many flower trees and trees laden with fruit, and then on the corners of Radhakund there are jeweled swings. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives us a vision of something we don't see. Gives us a vision of the spiritual dimension of Radhakund. So it is said in the purport of the Nectar of Instruction that Radhakund is not so easily attained. It may not be possible to just take a rickshaw or a taxi or whatever and just go there. And we went to Radhakund. No, it's not so easily attained. Because one has to really, to enter, it is a very confidential place. Krishnadas Kaviraj continues to describe how the different Astasakis have their different kunjas around Radhakund. He says, Lalita Ananda Da, that which gives pleasure to Lalita, Lalita Ananda Da Kunj, is one kunj that is described that has a temple like a lotus flower with 10,000 petals. And there in that lotus flower in the middle is a golden platform. And there Radha and Krishna are attended by Indira, the goddess of beauty. And so it is described. So again, we're looking at a totally different reality. And said Champakalata has a kunj. A kunj with is all golden. Everything is golden. And it said that when Radha and Krishna meet there, Radharani dresses in golden, sits on a golden throne next to Krishna, and it looks like Krishna is there all by himself. So in this way, private meetings in a most private place. Around Shamakund, Krishna Das describes, there are other kunjas, and these kunjas are owned by the by various cowherd boys, but they don't take care. They turn it over to the gopis who take care. So Radha Kund is a very intimate place, and but somehow or other, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us that intimate place. Although it's very, very difficult to comprehend Vrindavan. It's very, very difficult to comprehend Vrindavan because it's always covered by that layer of yoga maya. And when will the curtain be lifted? When will we actually see? As we've brought our conditioning, curtain is still there. We sense something. We can sense, but we cannot see. There's a big difference. So how deep can we enter into the meaning of Radha Kund? And yet, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally discovered Radha Kund. One day in the fields, he saw these ponds and he just jumped in and was bathing and pouring water and then revealing that these were Radha Kund and Shama Kund, which at the time had been forgotten. Vrindavan had become overgrown, there were still many villages, but basically a lot of jungle, so it was forgotten, Radha Kund, Shama Kund. Later, Raghunath Das Goswami, he settled there, and by an arrangement, a wealthy man, just when Raghunath Das was thinking we should make some nice bathing ghats here, then a wealthy man on the way to Haridwar had a dream and realized, and in the dream he was told that he should not go to Haridwar, but go to Vrindavan and give the donation to Raghunath Das, who had the all the ghats constructed at the time. And Raghunath Das became the leading Mahant in Radha Kund. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was also staying there. Right? And many of our acharyas have stayed there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had a residence there. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had a residence there. So in this way, we can appreciate how our acharyas were all closely connected with Radha Kund. It is described how Srinivas Acharya on an Ekadasi was in Radha Kund, chanting all night with his sika, with all the devotees who were chanting with him had their sikas tied with strings to the ceiling. So, but it is the abode of pure devotional service. So yes, we can go. And Srila Prabhupada writes in his Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, translating from Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada writes it in the purport, we can take bath in Radha Kund. It says there one should take his bath as many times as possible. Yeah. At the same time, though, when Srila Prabhupada was personally present here, Srila Prabhupada was very careful that the most exalted pastimes that are taking place here in Vrindavan, that they were not approached cheaply, not externally, but only through pure devotional service. And so at Radhakund, over time, a particular community of Vaishnavas, the Radhakund Babajis, have settled there. Between the Gaudiyas and this particular group of Babajis, there has been a major difference of opinion about many points, about the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And particularly, they are depending on Siddha Pranali, on revealing the spiritual body through some process of initiation, where it is revealed by a senior Vaishnava. Siddha Pranali is described in the writings of our acharyas, but it is particularly meant for those who are prema ruruksu, for those who are approaching prema, not at an earlier stage. But it became customary practice to just, at the time of diksha, already give. And our acharyas have condemned. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, has condemned this premature Siddha Pranali. And Srila Prabhupada equally followed so. And in our line, we see that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada never gave a Siddha Pranali initiation, never tried to give someone through some initiation an insight in their spiritual body. No. Prakasante Mahatmanaha. Just by serving the spiritual master, everything will be automatically revealed. So So Srila Prabhupada was very reserved about if a devotee would go to Radhakund. When Prabhupada was here, Prabhupada would ask, why did you go there? What did you do there? He would not encourage. These days it's like, you know, Radhakund, Radhe Radhe. The times have changed. We are now in Vrindavan, and somebody brought me flowers for the deities. They're from Vrindakund. Yeah, very nice. But those flowers are nicer. I'll use those for the puja, because, you know, I want to offer the nicest flowers to the deities. Not just because they're from Vrindakund. It's nice. They're from every place. Satsarupa Maharaj wrote a very nice book. I like it a lot. It's called The Samadhi Diary. And in this Samadhi Diary, Satsarupa Maharaj describes that for him, the two most holy places in Vrindavan are Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi and Srila Prabhupada's house. Now, that totally, I can totally relate to that. I get much more excited about those places than about Radhakund. Although I appreciate that Radhakund is the topmost sacred place in the entire universe, that is the dearmost place to Krishna, that it is non different from Radharani. But we are so far from Radhakund. We're so far from there. We go there. We may see a lady bathing. Lusty desires may arise. Yeah. At Radhakund. It's we are not free from material conditioning. So even if we're not so controlled by lust, then still, how deep can we go? How deep can we enter Radha Kund? So therefore, Srila Prabhupada did not start a culture of Radha Kund, Radha Kund, Radha Kund, Radha Kund Tilak, Radha Kund Beats, Radha Kund this, Radha Kund that. No, Srila Prabhupada just gave us Krishna and Balaram, Adishama Sunda, Gornitai, and said Krishna and Balaram are non-different from Gornitai, and gave us that service in the Dhamma, because it is through devotional service that we gradually become qualified. And therefore, for us, these two places, Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi and Prabhupada's house, are more important even than Radha Kund, because at this stage we need that mercy. Without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, nothing moves in spiritual life. Nothing. And that is our... And one can enter into the pastimes of Radha Kund. One can read in the 90s, there were a lot of devotees who started to read a lot of literatures about Vrindavan pastimes, and I was temple president, and this whole temple was buzzing with Rasika Katha. So much so that I also had to read the books. If I didn't read the books, I didn't know what they were talking about. So I also read the books. But when I saw Bhakta Bill in the bathroom, cleaning the bathroom and listening to the 25 qualities of Radharani, I thought he should just hear the Bhagavad Gita. That would be better. So we must be, yes, Radha Kund. It is the topmost place. We are not the topmost persons or personalities, but we may approach Radha Kund and gradually, in a respectful mood, and gradually become purified. So for short visits, we go, prayerful, and then return to our service here at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And in that way, step by step, we can make the journey to Radha Kund. Okay, thank you very much. I'll leave a few minutes for questions, comments. You can get the mic also. Do the mic a little quicker.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful insight about Radha Kund. I just got one inquisitiveness, I don't know about it, but I just want to ask that if Srila Prabhupada, after coming with his Western disciples to Vrindavan, ever visited Radha Kund, took bath in Radha Kund, or some documentation, because we know Prabhupada visited with his spiritual master once to Radha Kund, but after coming to Vrindavan, establishing his own, did Srila Prabhupada ever took bath, or how?
I don't think so. No? Yadubai? I don't know anything. Not that I know of. Brahmanda Ghat, yes, in the Yamuna, but not Radha Kund. And Prabhupada was reserved about Radha Kund. And that's the point. That's why I also brought in this this angle. You know, I could have just told you more stories, but I just wanted to balance it with Srila Prabhupada's mood towards Radha Kund. Yes, we go, but respectfully. Yes, we can bathe, but when the devotees started swimming and diving and so on, then it wasn't appropriate. One can bathe respectfully, prayerfully. That's all right. Yes, Radhesha.
When I was listening to Arish Dasar's entrance into Vrindavan, there was some doubt in my mind, this miscarriages happening among the cows and the women of Braj. It seems so heavy for Brajvasis to undergo.
Yeah, you know, it was a little heavy, but you thought Krishna would be more kind in his dealings with the Brajvasis, that he wouldn't put his devotees through such things. But he did. So we can see that Krishna is. But at the same time, although these ladies had miscarriages, right, their attachment to Krishna was much greater than to the child in their womb. So they weren't devastated by the miscarriages, and it wasn't that after that, you know, they couldn't get into their devotion anymore because they had a miscarriage, needed some counseling and all that. No, they were okay. Yeah.
And when we hear Bhayan Vidya Bhinivesha Dasyanta, seeing something separate from Krishna is causing this fear, if their reaction is instantly to think of Krishna, why are they so afraid that they're miscarrying?
Well, although they are completely absorbed in Krishna, there is natural fear. Fear is not just a fear is not just a mechanism of that manifests due to separation, but fear is also part of natural survival. If there is a huge storm, then that's not just a foolish fear, you know, that's a fear based on, okay, watch out, you know, roof start flying, move inside, hide. So it's a survival mechanism. So Krishna created these life-threatening circumstances, right? I mean, enormous, overpowering bull. So life-threatening circumstances. So the fear that comes about is natural, but we see that in response to that fear, everyone took shelter of Krishna. Immediately, they called out Krishna, Krishna. So there's fear in the relationship with Krishna, but the difference is always taking shelter of Krishna. Whereas Bhayam Jitya Binivesita Syat, that when we are separated from Krishna, there's fear. That's the fear of living in the material world, where we are just always in anxiety. Anything can happen anytime. There's always... So we're fearful. We're sitting here comfortably, but if anything strange would happen, you'd see, I've been in places with earthquakes, right? And it's amazing how fast people can get out of a building when there's an earthquake. It's like quite amazing. So the material world is always this insecurity, this constant fear in the background. In animals, it's even stronger. Huh? The bird will drink water and look around all the time because any moment something can swoop down to grab it. So the material fear is constant. It's always there. Whereas the fear in the spiritual pastimes is a different fear. It's a fear, created by very intense circumstances that then drives the residents immediately to Krishna.
Listening to your fine class upstairs.
Okay.
I went to Radhakund with Srila Prabhupada, and he told me to take a bath.
Now, there you go.
In 1971, and there were four or five of us. Yeah. And he was enjoying, he didn't go in, but we went in and took a proper snan bath. And so, yes, he did go there with us.
Thank you.
And we did take a bath there. And the monkey did steal my shirt, too.
No. Thank you very much, Guru Kripa Prabhu. Yeah, Guru Kripa Prabhu is, we thank him for the Krishna Balaram Mandir. It wouldn't be here if Guru. And so many other things. Anyway, it's really 9 o'clock, so I should just finish. But thank you so much for that, because I didn't know. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Bahulastami Mahamahotsava ki jai.